5975. In fact, I know Bill just called with one. All the physicians get together and they celebrate Doctoberfest. Mick mentions that he has friends in Edinburgh that celebrate Lochtoberfest. Chad mentioned that he and some of his long-haired classical music lovers celebrate Dvorak-toberfest. Are there any you've been holding back on? Jenga players everywhere are celebrating Blocktoberfest. We talked about geology a little while ago. There are people out west who like seismology, and they have been celebrating Aftershocktoberfest, getting ready all month long. Politicians everywhere are celebrating Double Talktoberfest. It does go on and on and on, doesn't it? You can have more fun with this throughout the day if you care to, or share some more with us if you want to. Oh, Jim mentions that the St. Louis Cardinals have Lou Brocktoberfest. Oh, and he mentions that a great celebration of blackboards and sidewalks everywhere would be Chalktoberfest. It's hard to stop.
Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are proud to support the Saturday Light Brigade. Time tickets are available at pittsburghkids.org. The museum is open Wednesday to Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Museum Lab is open on Saturday and Sunday from noon until 5 p.m. Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are filled with opportunities to experience kindness, joy, creativity, and curiosity. Capacity is limited, social distancing and masks are required. More information about health, wellness, and tickets is available at pittsburghkids.org.
Mick has pointed out that long-haired lovers of classical music are celebrating Bachtoberfest. And Wes in Old Washington, nice to hear from you, Wes, mentions chicken farmers everywhere are celebrating Squawktoberfest. Ty in Squirrel Hill says that fans of footstools and ottomans everywhere are celebrating Hassocktoberfest. And I'm not sure who this is from, but he phrased his as a slogan, "It's time for Clocktoberfest." Chris in Monroeville says, the shepherds, he knows, are celebrating Flocktoberfest. Oh, some of the simplest joke tellers I know are celebrating Knock-Knocktoberfest. Well, coming up, we've got an Herbs in Action feature. And a tune from Friction Farm. And then we're going to begin our Youth Express Hour with some of the winners from Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Teen Media Awards for 2021 in 3D, art, and fashion. Christopher with remembering if anybody imitates us here, they're celebrating Mocktoberfest. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WMCO Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, and audio streaming services as listed at slbradio.org/radio.
Reflections and stories from the Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens Botany in Action Fellows, discussing herbs from around the world.
My name is Becky Dalton, and I'm a second-year graduate student at Duke University in North Carolina, and I'm interested in how plant populations are responding to climate change and how their pollinators are also responding to climate change. So there's been a lot of research suggesting that flowers are opening up sooner every single year because of the rising temperatures, but the pollinators aren't necessarily coming out at the same time anymore. And you have this period of time where there are flowers open, but no pollinators, and I'm interested in how the plant populations are able to adapt or reproduce without their pollinators out. The herb I'm going to talk about today is Claytonia virginica, or the spring beauty. And it's particularly of interest to me is because it's one of my study species in North Carolina. So it's a wildflower. It's one of the first flowers to come up in spring. So the rest of the field looks really brown and kind of gross from winter. And there are these beautiful white flowers with pink stripes on them that start popping up. And they're pretty small. And they grow as far west as Kansas, and all the way along the East Coast as well. In the past, the Native Americans used to eat the tubers or the corms of the plant, and they would boil them or roast them, and they say they taste like chestnuts and a little bit sweet. And then they also used to grind up the tubers as well to treat colds and convulsions. And it holds a lot of the starches and the nutrients from the year before. So this is a perennial plant, and it grows for multiple years. So over the winter, all of the vegetation dies back down, and it stores a lot of the nutrients in this corm, which reproduces the following year. Not too many people eat it now. It's very difficult to find recipes for it, but it is a pretty abundant plant in North Carolina, at least, and it makes a great snack. The leaves are a little bit tangy.
Herbs in Action is a collaboration between Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens and the Saturday Light Brigade, and is made possible by the Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation, dedicated to educating the community about the many benefits and uses of herbs. To hear this feature again, or to learn more about herbs from around the world, visit mjbergerfoundation.org.
Look for the Herbs in Action podcast, new episodes weekly.
School. I think she's gonna be tough, but if I do my best and keep my cool, I just might be smart enough. If I promise to learn something new about rocks or caves or a bat, turn in my homework when it's due, pretty sure if I do all that, this is gonna be my year. I can feel it way down. Of monsters, what's that under
With some help from my little sister, I can keep the nightmares out of my head. But even if I face my fears, they might not go away. One thing is really clear, I get braver every day. This is gonna be my year. You've ever seen. I'm no star, but I'm no quitter, and I'm happy being part of the team. I made it all the way to third before I got tagged out. I was feeling pretty sad till I heard the team still cheer and shout. This is gonna be my year. I can feel it way down here. Make no mistake, it's no cake. This is gonna be my year. Make no mistake, it's no piece of cake. This is gonna be my year. This is gonna be my year. This is gonna be my year.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that is a group called Friction Farm, and I am about to introduce you to the very first youth speaking through this new system that we just installed. So it's going to be really exciting to see how it all goes, right? So maybe for them, maybe for me too. Definitely for me. There's the music I was looking for a second. I actually also have to get your microphone set up there. I think I did it. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, and if you've been with us over these many years, we enjoy celebrating the Teen Media Award winners at Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. We've been celebrating honorees and winners of the Ralph Munn contest, as well as the Labsy Awards. And today we have some teens who have created a fashion. There's some design aspects. We'll get to know them and what their specialty has been. First, I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourself, indicate the school you go to, the grade you're in, and if you have any shout-outs or if you want to acknowledge anybody that's here, feel free to. And why don't we just go around the room? We'll get started with Jane.
Hi, I'm Jane Winsheimer. I'm a junior at Chartres Valley High School. I got an honorable mention in the fashion category. And I'll give a shout out to my sister, Juliet Chatham, and my brother, Andy, who's at Pitt.
Hello, my name is Alina Rickabon. I'm a freshman, and I'm from PA Virtual Charter School. I'd like to give a shout out to both my brothers and my parents.
Hello, my name is Ariel Rickabon. I go to P Virtual Charter School, and I am in 11th grade. I'd like to give a shout out to my brothers for being amazing editors for my story, as well as for modeling costumes for the fashion. And I also like to thank my mom for modeling the costume too.
Hello, I'm Amalia. I go to Pittsburgh Kappa. I would like to thank my family and all my teachers who made it possible for me to be here.
Well, it's nice to meet each of you. I know our two sisters knew each other before today. I'm gathering, though, otherwise, are you all meeting for the first time?
Yeah.
So I'm glad we could bring you together. Jane, I'll start with you again. And let me ask, if you three have any questions as Jane talks, feel free to jump in and ask her. Can you tell us a bit about what you made that was acknowledged by Carnegie Library?
Yeah, so I knitted an infinity scarf, and I've been knitting for a few years now, and scarves are probably my favorite thing because they don't have to be, you don't have to like really size them. You can kind of just knit until you feel like you're done. And they're really easy to gauge, so.
What is an infinity scarf?
It's a scarf that just kind of loops around. It doesn't have like an end technically.
Is it, they're called a Mobius strips, does it? Oh, I get it. It just goes around in one big circle. Very cool. And you keep like knitting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to knit while you're in school? Or?
I don't know. I've never tried.
I don't want to take credit for having said that. I have a friend who used to knit during meetings all the time in a corporate setting. And a lot of people did not like the fact that she did that. She said, "Why can you pay attention and I can listen?" And, you know, it actually helps me focus as you people talk. And she continued to do so for a long time after that. Tell me about what you made.
I did two different submissions, but the one that I was here for is the honorable mention. I did a outfit, which I was wanting to practice making pants a lot more because I was making mostly dresses. And then that was my first experiment with making pants, and I figured I'd just make it into an outfit and submit it here.
Wow. Well, and this is Alina, by the way. So you made a whole outfit?
Yes, I did.
So tell me what was part of it. I mean, a top? Pants or?
Yeah, I made pants, which are kind of like leggings, and then a ruffle off the shoulder top to go with it.
Very cool. Very cool. I was going to ask you if you made your hat.
Yes, I did.
Or cap. There's a butterfly on the top of this great knit cap, which are very functional. They have been for a while, but particularly in the Zoom era, you know, you can keep your hair. You can't, but your hair is quite long. I can keep my hair covered up. Let's meet your sister now. So from Alina to Ariel, right?
Yeah. So my submission was, I actually had two submissions that were recognized. One was a writing piece, which was a story set in the 1920s. It's about a jazz player and his sister who is a wing walker. So she walks on the wings of planes and performs all kinds of stunts. And then my other submission was actually also 1920s themed. I did it with my sister Alina, and we made a short film to showcase some 1920s themed costumes that also incorporated bird-like elements to play on the theme of like flappers.
Wow, I love it. What a great, how did you make those?
So a lot of the costumes were made from like upcycled like t-shirts, and we made the different pieces. Like there was a suit jacket that we made that actually used to be a t-shirt, like a couple of t-shirts that we pieced together. And then we even gave it like bird-like wings that were actually made from back scratchers.
How cool. That's amazing. And Amalia, let's learn about what you did.
So for my piece, I made a violin out of paper mache, and it is 3D. I play violin and piano, so I always have this excess music and on paper that I never use, and it normally just clutters up. So I thought I could just use that to create a piece. So I created a bass out of cardboard and a lot of different materials, and then I just went over that with my old sheet music. So it's decorated in the style of its music.
Very cool. Let's talk about creativity in general. And I'd like all of you to join in. Why do you think it's important to do things like this? And please just join in. A lot of people might think, oh, what's the point of making art? Or what's the point of creating something when you could just go buy it? And I don't think you're going to have any trouble articulating why that isn't the case, but I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, for me, like making clothes homemade, not only is it something that's like, you get to have the exact styles that you want because stores won't always have those. But, like, as someone who's non-binary, who likes to, like, dress masculinely, it's hard to find clothes that are in my size but also in my style. So being able to make it actually makes it a lot easier.
I would also agree with that because most of the clothing that I make, I do it for my style. And it's also very cheap to find fabric instead of going out and buying clothing and finding the particular clothing that you want to make. You can just make it yourself with fabric that you can find most stores.
For someone who makes things that other people might think of as excessive, right, it's not necessary to have a violin made out of paper, but it was very, like, a creative outlet to just have an idea and then go with it, right, and to be able to make something that's yours and keep it, and even though it doesn't have very much value, it can't be played, unfortunately, I can still look at that and be like, wow, I made that with my own idea.
Yeah, and I think, too, whenever I knit, like, I appreciate the process that goes along with it. And I don't always like reading the instructions. I like looking at something and then figuring out how to make it. So it's the process, and then I feel so accomplished whenever I actually finish something and I'm happy with how it looks, and getting to wear it is just like a fun way to display that.
Not that what you do should be evaluated in terms of can you make a living doing it, but one thing I've thought a lot about lately, I kind of grew up never thinking about aesthetics too much, and my mind is changing about that a lot because most, more and more jobs end up being ones that can be done by computer or with AI applications, except I think for design and creative approaches and fashion. And I don't know if you might feel this way, but it seems like we're going to get to a point where the only thing that might distinguish one thing from another is how elegantly it or creatively it was designed. Does that resonate with any of you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting how that the creative jobs are ones that could last even through technological advancements, because machines can't do what human brains do when we're being creative. It takes a person to do that.
Yeah, I think about that quite a bit. Have any of you thought about what you might like to do when you're older? You all have a little bit of time. You have lots of time to think about it. I'm trying to think. You're in 8th, 9th, and 11th grades, I think. But have you thought about what you might like to do?
I kind of am leaning towards a scientist, even though I like art. I also like the math and science aspect of, like, being a scientist. It seems more fun to me than art, because if I were to take art as, like, a career, I feel like it wouldn't be as fun anymore because I would have to do it for a job, and I wouldn't feel as creative anymore because I'm wasting it all on a ton of things I have to do for my career instead of using it as my free time.
You might feel pressure maybe to do that.
Yeah, I can agree. Whenever I have an idea, it's not like it comes out every week, right? It's just whenever it pops into your head and you need to put it down or create it. So I can agree that becoming an artist as a full-time job would be a lot of pressure to create when your mind isn't ready.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I actually am hoping to get a career in making art, because I'd actually I'm really into designing costumes and directing films, and I think that the being able to tell stories in a lot of different mediums, be it through the clothing that characters wear, through actually writing the stories, and then I also do make comics, so like visually storytelling too. So I'm really hoping to get into like the visual and storytelling combined.
Yeah, I've considered doing editing, which I think would be nice because it would allow me to look at other people's work but also do some things with my own, but maybe do some knitting on the side. So I could still do it and have it be a part of my life, but like you guys were saying, like not have the pressure of needing to do it constantly.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about whether work should, some people will say, you know, do something you really love, make that your job, and you'll never work a day in your life, you know, or you'll always be happy. And there is kind of a tension that can come with that if it ends up being what you do. Do you think much about how the, I hate to keep talking about work. Obviously, I don't. I'm going to. But, I mean, do you think, does the world of work just intrigue you as to what it might be like in 10 years or 20 years? I full disclosure, I've been talking about work for the last couple days at a convening I was at with a bunch of other adults who care a lot about teens. And I just can't imagine what work might look like in 10 years or 15 years, given the rate of change that's occurring now. Maybe that's just me. I mean, do you see that too?
Yeah, it is kind of hard to imagine what things will be like when everything's changing so quickly.
I can agree that a lot of the workforce and jobs are going to change, but I think artistically it can never really stretch that far from what it is, because you have to be able to value something with your own hands, right? And however far technologically our workforce changes or anything in any way, I think that artistically and historically that it's never going to change too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I keep looking. It's hard. All of our guests are masked. So I look to see who's talking, and I have trouble because I can't tell whose mouth is moving. So forgive me if I look around. Jane, were you going to add something?
I like thinking about going to work and things. Just being in high school, like, I love looking at colleges and thinking of the future, and I'm really indecisive. So it's fun to think about, and it can be a little stressful, but I like thinking about having that independence and being able to hopefully find something that I enjoy doing.
Well, and I think, too, I think there'll be lots of different things throughout your life that you might end up doing, whether it be all within one sector of society or even moving from, you know, different things, you know, doing different things depending on what how you're going to change as people.
Yeah.
As you get older, too. Do any of you have other passions besides the work that you just described? Sports, or you mentioned science earlier, but other things that people might be surprised to know you enjoy doing or just that you really like?
Well, my piece is done as a violin, so I am greatly interested in music. But I also love literature and just reading and learning from new perspectives that are from, like, different years. And so I think that's really interesting.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there a work of literature or a book that you might suggest as one that is underread or underappreciated?
Oh, not necessarily. I would have to think about that. But I think all work pretty much is a little bit underrated, right? We kind of brush it over, or only a certain portion read it. So I think that any work that you read should be read more, right? Because it's just new knowledge. So I wouldn't necessarily, there's one specific piece.
Is your major at Kappa in writing?
No, my major is in visual.
Oh, yeah. Visual, okay. And how do you read paper or Kindle primarily?
I majoritarily read paper, yeah.
So I probably do more Kindle than paper, but I prefer paper. But it's the convenience of the Kindle is hard to stop. How about the rest of you? Any thoughts or about other things you really enjoy doing?
I enjoy doing math and science a lot, definitely a lot. I also really like music, and just in general, the whole arts is what I enjoy doing, and then math and science.
Alina likes it all. Everything.
Dabbling in a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I kind of have, well, it's good. It's fine to do that. Actually, the world needs people that like that. Jane?
I like photography and writing. I do love reading, too. I'm a paper book person, too. I also play violin. I play clarinet, and I'm in my school's marching band where I play bass clarinet.
Nice. Chartreuse Valley is a good band, a pretty big band.
Yeah.
It's this is the time. I'm sorry, you just brought me back. I played drums. I was in the drum line, and I was thinking about how much work there is to doing marching band and how much fun there is. Well, I have two questions for you. First, did anybody want to say anything they didn't get a chance to say, to acknowledge anyone, or just to express a point of view that you think other folks ought to hear about, either who are listening now or who will be once we make this into a podcast, too?
I would like to give a shout out to my friend Mint. They were very supportive, and they were also one of the people who were reading my story as it was going through its drafts, and it was just nice to have someone who saw it in all its iterations before it made it to its final version.
Those are special friends and people that will stay with you on the journey like that.
Yeah, I would like to thank my music teachers for giving me all this sheet music to use. No, I just am so grateful for the idea that I was able to create and combine two of the things I love so much together and really make it harmonious. So I just wanted to say thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, to jump on that train, to anyone who's listening, music in schools is so important. It is like indescribable. It's honestly changed my life. People say that and it sounds cliche, but I mean, you could say like that's it's true. So I know that during COVID and things, a lot of music programs suffered, and I think it's really important that music comes back and stays in schools.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think arts are very important, and without them, we wouldn't really have much of society, because most jobs are based off of art and creativity, and some people start their own businesses with art and creativity just so they can do what they love, and I think that's great, because we shouldn't get rid of arts anywhere, because it's very important.
Yeah, arts are very helpful with problem solving. Like, they can be, like, the experience you get from making art can be used in, like, all fields of work and study.
Yeah.
The only other question I wanted to ask you, and it's a hard one. And I'm going to ask you for one answer, but I won't hold you to it. Just off the top of your head, if you could change anything in the world, you have all the resources, every resource imaginable, and it can happen on whatever timetable you want it to. Does anything come to mind? And any of you can just jump right in.
Well, we could honestly wish for a lot of big things that could would just solve everything. But one more specific thing I think would be I'd love to see like more LGBTQ+ representation in media, because there's not really a lot of that right now. And for the representation that does appear, it's not always the most like complex and like true to real life. Sometimes it's a little simplified to the point where it's not always the best representation.
And sometimes it's not evident. You may know that somebody is LGBTQI or plus, but it's not an actor, for example.
Yeah.
But it's not revealed in any way. How about anybody else? Again, it can be anything big or small. It's mostly just about issues. I think sometimes people are surprised at what might bug you or what you might want to change.
I think I would like it if people just took a little bit more time or slowed down to think about anything, right? Anything in general, to think about what they say or necessarily how they go about their life or how other people do, because I think any root problem is just the fact that it's overlooked, right? And so if everyone took a little bit of time and did self-reflection or reflection on their community and how they do things, it would be very beneficial to life.
That's a great thought. We do move way too fast. Sometimes not necessarily so.
I think we just need more tolerance for other people. Mm. People are so judgmental. I'm a big feminist personally. And I just think, like, again, if people just weren't so judgmental of other people and just, like, let other people live the way they want to.
And would you apply that to your peers as well as to people in other generations?
Yeah, honestly, anyone. I think we could all improve.
I was just curious because I think that a lot of adults think that the message that you just gave might be aimed mostly at them, but the fact of the matter is there's a lot of intolerance. Kids, too.
In general.
It all over. Any additional thoughts?
They took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. Everything they said, I totally agree with.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being here today. We have other youth media programs that we would love to get you involved in on your terms. If you ever want to share something you've written or create a work, we'll tell you about that off the air. But I really am grateful that you were able to spend time here with us today. And I'm gonna one more last call in case anybody forgot anything. Sounds like you're okay.
I think we're good.
Okay. Thank you. Did you make your bracelet?
No, actually. I made the shirt, not the bracelet.
You did make your shirt.
Yeah.
Wow. The bracelet's really cool, as is the flamingo. So thank you, all of you,
thank you so much, Alina.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Ariel, Amalia, and Jane. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including TuneIn Simple Radio, Streama, AHA Radio Garden, and slbradio.org/radio.
When you
That is Dr. John at the Saturday Light Brigade. Extra, extra. We have a little extra that I need to share with you due to my own negligence. Don't sue me, though. As we were just closing up with the women you just heard from, all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, you've got a copy of the Ralph Munn book. And what I failed to realize is that Arielle also, I think she won a first prize for one of your writings in addition to your fashion honors. And I just wanted to ask if you could tell us a bit about what you wrote and share an excerpt from it. And then we're going to talk with folks from Three Rivers Young People's Orchestras who are here.
So my short story was about a jazz player and his sister who does wing walking on airplanes, doing stunts.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, and it's set in the 1920s, so it's like barnstorming in the 1920s. And so basically, the main conflict in the story is that Jimmy, he's kind of a shy guy. He's not a big fan of playing like musical solos on stage when he's doing his jazz. But his sister, she's like very, very outgoing, good with a crowd, charismatic. So there's a bit of Jimmy's kind of feeling that he doesn't quite measure up to his sister. But despite that, the two siblings still kind of are there to support each other. And this excerpt is one instance where you can see the siblings supporting each other. When Lois first climbed into a cockpit, I was there, giving her a boost up. When she rattled down the dusty runway, I was running close behind her. Lois was trying to take off, but she was coming up fast on the airfield fence, and she was running out of runway. As we neared the fence, I hollered, "Come on, Lois. I can't brag about my high-flying sis if she don't get off the ground first." And I swear, I didn't give that plane one push, but my voice must have given Lois a great big shove, because somehow she launched into the sky, and then she flew. No dives, no loops, just a plane holding her up in the sky, and a brother holding her up from below.
You sound like a completely different person in the voice, in that character, and that's a compliment. You created somebody out of thin air. That's beautifully done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I think we've linked, I believe, a lot of your work is available to look at online at Carnegie Library's website, and also the Ralph Munn books are out there at all of the libraries. Thanks again to all of you. And you just heard Arielle Rickabon. thank you again for taking an extra moment. I should have caught that before. stick around in a moment. You're going to get to meet an 11-year-old from Hampton Middle School, 12-year-old from Pine Ridgeland Middle School, and from Shadyside Academy, an 11-year-old. They're in 6th and 7th grade, and they are right across the way with Three Rivers Young Persons Orchestra. They are preparing for a concert that will be in a couple weeks, and we'll chat with them and then let them get back to practice. Well, we in just a moment are going to talk with some students who are here representing Three Rivers Young People's Orchestras. We're going to get them set and then introduce them to you momentarily.
Mariposa, poor fluttering thing, where's the sweetness to strengthen your wing? You have lost all your workaday world. It's so strange now your wings have unfurled. Fly higher, still higher, it's all so different somehow. Try higher, still higher, until you see Mariposa. The things that you need are no longer the leaf and the seed. Lift your lips up, rejoice in this hour. You were made for the heart of the flower. Somehow, try higher, still higher, until you see Mariposa. The things that you need are no longer the leaf and the seed. Lift your lips up, rejoice in this hour. You were made for the heart of the flower.
That's Bob Franke here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And I'm excited to talk with the people that are with us now. Thank you for being here. By the way, Trio Nova is going to be here in about 20 minutes. They'll be set up here in the studio to bring some amazing music. These three professional musicians are just beginning to play more and more around Pittsburgh. Clarinet, guitar, and percussion, which together will bring you some great Latin sounds. I'm going to turn to Lindsay, you first. Tell us what's going on. Lindsay Novez here from Three Rivers Young Persons, People's Orchestras. I always have to get that right. Tripo.
Nobody gets it right.
No, well, it's, everything's plural. Three is plural just in and of itself. Rivers is plural.
That's right.
Three Rivers People's Young Singular Orchestras, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But what are you guys up to this weekend?
Oh, we're so excited to be here. First of all, it's just so nice to see you again, Larry. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
We're here at the Children's Museum. This is our second day of a three-week residency. And mini residency, I should say. We're just so happy that the Children's Museum hosted us, and we're rehearsing over in the Museum Lab, that brand new space, which has some of the coolest exhibits I have ever seen in my life. And we're rehearsing, and this is our third week of Symphonette having some rehearsals together. Symphonette is a string orchestra for middle school students, like the awesome three young people sitting next to me. And they're actually going to have their first performance next week. It's a very short performance right here at the Children's Museum. And it's just going to be so nice to hear music being played live together for the first time in so long.
And we're hoping to have our microphones there that we can share it at a later date, because I think it's going to be around 3 o'clock.
Around 3 o'clock, that's right.
And we'll do that. So that'll be fun. Yeah. Let's meet each of you. And I can't wait to do that. Let's start with Ellie. If you could just introduce yourself, maybe where you go to school, and tell us a little bit about the instrument you play and about yourself, too.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I go to Pine Richland Middle School, and I play the double bass. I've been playing for about 3.5 years, and I really enjoy it, so I'm glad to be here.
Now, a full double bass is a pretty big instrument. Are you playing a full-size, full double bass?
It's not a full. It's like a three-fourths.
It's still huge.
It's still really big. I probably won't get another one unless I play when I'm like an adult. But yeah, it's still pretty big.
Is there anybody you'd like to acknowledge that may be listening now or later that you'd like to say hello to or give a shout out to?
My mom and dad. Hi, guys.
And I'm going to ask you about this shirt you have that says Chicago on it. Do you have a relationship to Chicago?
I mean, I've been there, I think, before. That's actually a hand-me-down from my sister because I get a lot of shirts from her. She's older. But I think I've been there before. It's a really cool place.
I got a lot of those, too. And I had two older brothers that were only like a year apart. And they often wore the same things. Mm-hmm. So I not only did I get hand-me-downs, but they lasted forever, you know, because I would have two of the same thing. Chicago's a great city. Mm-hmm. Your shirt says awesome on it. And let's meet you next. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Lily Haberman, and I play the viola. I've been playing for a little bit less than 2 years. And I also play the violin, and I want to acknowledge my parents and my little brother. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh, what's his name?
Eli.
Happy birthday, Eli. And where do you go to school?
I go to school at Hampton Middle School.
Nice to have you here again. And we finish up with Allison. Hi.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I'm a sixth grader at Shadyside Academy Middle School. I play the violin, and I've been playing for around 7 years.
Now, I'm curious. Oh, any shout-outs at all?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to say hi to my mom and dad and thank them for always supporting me. And I have a teacher, Charles Stegman. I'd like to shout-out him, too.
Is he a music teacher?
Yeah, he's a professor at Duquesne University.
That's exciting to have that kind of instructor. Now, why do you think music's important? And any of you can jump in, but as you know, there are some people that think maybe we shouldn't fund music programs, or maybe, you know, if we only have limited resources, they should go elsewhere. I don't feel that way, and a lot of people fortunately don't feel that way. I suspect you don't either. If you had to advocate for music and help people understand why it matters to you, what would you say as part of your argument?
Well, making music makes me really happy, and it can calm me down.
Yeah, I agree. It's not, you don't only have to play an instrument, just listening to it can really help you feel more concentrated. Like if I'm doing homework, it's really nice to listen to some music. It helps me focus more.
Any other thoughts about that?
I think of music as a way to express yourself. Like when you're playing, you can make the music sound how you feel then. And well, if you're just listening to music, you can also find a song that you really like, and it can have those emotions as well.
So it can, you can use it as kind of a way to change how you're feeling, it sounds like. If you're not calm, it can calm you down. Maybe if you need to focus more, like you were saying, it can help you focus. What about playing music? Does that change? I mean, playing the instrument, does that change one, the way you feel, and also how you interact with other people? Like you're all part of the symphonette right now, and you've got other people to integrate your music with. That has to require some special skills, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love playing my instrument. Playing with a whole orchestra is so amazing because you get to feel how your part really is put into all the other instruments. It's really amazing to hear everything together.
You also get to play with your friends, and I think that's really nice.
Is it hard to... I hate to say, is it harder or easier, because it's just different, but I would think it would be very nice to play with a group, very rewarding, but that it might be kind of hard too. Is it hard?
Sometimes it can be hard, like if you're trying to make sure you're playing the right part at the right time, but it's, the hard work really pays off when you hear how the whole group sounds together.
Yeah.
And in terms of, were you going to say something too?
I agree. I think it's just really nice to be able to hear what it sounds like after you've had, like, worked really, really, really hard.
I was curious too about learning a musical instrument. There are a lot of people of all ages who find it so challenging that they stop. And did any of you ever feel that way as you were learning, or you all clearly decided to work through it, but I'm curious what your strategies have been to just keep going and to accomplish.
I mean, there's always been those like bumps in the road that you have to get through, but it's all worth it, and you just have to push through the hard parts. I know I definitely have with music and other stuff that's been in my way, but it's so fun to be able to listen to yourself afterward and say, yeah, I worked so hard for that, and yeah.
That was Ellie, it never occurred to me, you know, if you do it with music, it does show you how you might be able to do it with other things, too. Lily, Allison, what do you think?
Well,
music is, like, it teaches you a lot of life lessons, like how to work hard, and it teaches you discipline, because it takes a long time to play really well, and so you have to work each day really hard to just keep your sound going.
Yeah, sometimes if I get to a really hard part of my music, if I get frustrated, I'll pause and I'll look it over and I'll try it again. So.
Yeah, those are all good methods to get through it. Have any of you thought about what you might like to be when you get older?
I mean, I always like wanted. I love music, and it'd be awesome to, like, maybe own, like, a music store or something. That's so fun to, like, be around all the music and help people every day trying to find an instrument they like. But then there are other times that I'm like, I don't know if I want to do music when I'm older. But I feel like it always leads back to wanting to do it.
And you've got lots of time to figure it out, too. But is there a music store you like?
I like to go to Inside Pico. I don't know if you ever heard of that. I forget. Mm-hmm. I don't think what it stands for. But there's a little music store inside there. It's so cute and small, and the people are always so nice.
Oh, that's
and I
nice.
Love to go look around in there, find some music to play.
That's nice. Can't do that online, so it's nice. How about the two of you? Any thoughts?
I always thought of music as like a little hobby, because I've met some really amazing people who can play really well. And just looking at what I do, I think it would be better for me to pursue a medical career. But I still have time to figure it out, so I'll figure out something.
I agree that I think of music as more of like a hobby. And I always like science, so I want to be a scientist when I grow up.
You're in good company to have music. Is something that can either be, you know, an absolute passion in how you focus your life, or to have it be part of your life. It's good to be able to do that. One last question. I'm going to give you a magic wand. If you could change anything in the whole world, what would you change? And you might not have an obvious, immediate answer, but Does anything come to mind that you might want to change?
I mean, there's so many things that I would do to change, but one of the biggest things that's happening right now is these masks and COVID and all that stuff. And it'd be maybe to just let everyone know that it's going to be okay and we're going to get through it. And it's really nice to know that
That's a good way to put it, to be more positive and reassuring, and to maybe have everybody work together to overcome. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, but yeah.
It sounds like that's what you're saying. What about you?
I'm not really sure what I would change, but I agree with Ellie's statement. I think that would be really nice.
Any thoughts?
I don't really know what I would change. I kind of like my life the way it is and everything, though I would want to get rid of COVID because it's kind of annoying to have to wear masks mm-hmm. a lot, and every time we're in public, we have the chance of getting COVID, which could harm us.
It's scary. It looks like a vaccine may be available soon mm-hmm. for younger kids. It's interesting, too, because as I look at all of you, including Lindsay, it's hard for me to know who's talking because I can't see your lips moving. I'm looking around. Lindsay?
I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, obviously we came out of this huge shutdown and we were in our houses and on Zoom. What was that like the first time, whether it was this September or whether it was back in May, the first time you went back to a rehearsal and got to make music with other people? And what did that feel like?
Oh, it was crazy to see everyone and, like, be able to, like, listen to everyone play in the same room. It was so great, but it was really crazy to be like, oh, my gosh, I'm back and I can play now mm-hmm. and not on Google Meets and Zoom.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
This is my first year in Tripo. But I just think it's really fun to play with other people.
I did Tripo online. I did a YC squared. I did one of the quartets. I thought it was really, I thought it was really strange because we couldn't really play all together on Zoom, as Zoom only highlights one person's sound at one time. So it was kind of like a semi-conducted thing. So then, like, when I came this year to Symphonette in person, I was surprised at how good it sounded just to be playing with all these different parts.
Yeah, and you can feel it as well as hear it, plus Zoom's got some delay associated with it too that's hard. So nice, Allison and Lily and Ellie, thank you. And Lindsay, anything else you'd like to mention?
Oh, we're just happy to be here, and we'll see you again next week with a few other awesome young musicians. And if anybody listening is interested in checking out our programs, you know we still have a handful of openings, and Youth Chamber Connection Allison mentioned is still accepting a handful of kids as well. So if you want to come and join these awesome young musicians, check out www.tripo.org. That's TRYPO.ORG.
Thanks to all of you, and I hope the rest of the day goes well.
Thank
rehearsing.
You.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Lily and Ellie and Allison and Lindsay and Ricky and Chad. This is Larry. And this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WNCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
What I got gon' sure bring you back. honey, babe, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. When I'm down here in this valley on my knees, down in this valley on my knees, down in this valley on my knees, honey, babe, and I ain't gonna be treated this way.
Bib and Habib Koite, going down the road feeling bad. Welcome to this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade. Trio Nova is here, and I'm so happy that we're going to be able to present them wonderful arrangements of Latin jazz and more. Clarinet, guitar, percussion coming up shortly. Mark Mandeville and Rayanne Richards now, they just got married.
At the edge of a great big valley, you can't fly. Stones in the gravel, new stones in the road. Out in the field, lone horse, no rider, and you can't rein in what's free. Best of times become oppressive.